sitting alone like this.
Breathe. Are you ready? Ready. You're not breathing like me. You're not breathing weird.
All right, welcome back to Comedy or Worse. I'm here with my very special guest,
Roman Menchaca.
Hell yeah. So how are you doing? I know we talked.
Right.
I mean, we're talking. We talked before we're talking. But let's catch everybody up.
So this is pretty impromptu. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yes, well, Roman wanted to be on the podcast, and he politely asked me several times, and I'm like, yes, I want to. And then finally, like, mistakenly scheduling other people ahead of him. So I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Will you be in a standby position?
Thanks like, for taking me off the bench, coach.
So that's what happened. You don't have to know every detail. Get a life.
You don't want to throw somebody under the bus?
Canceled because he forgot. I put it on my calendar. Oh, and then, but I did make a mistake. I sent a call. I got sleep last night, but then I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then I'm like, oh shoot, I didn't remind Nick that, you know, on Sunday.
Unless it was one of those panic wake ups. You're like, oh my god.
I don't know. That's part of it. So I sent him a text or a message or reminder recording the podcast, and then. And then right before noon, I was like, hey, I just sent him another message. Hey, and he's like, oh man, sorry, forgot. I'm in LA.
Do you know what BK stands for?
He's not even on the podcast.
I'm just curious.
No, I do not know what BK stands for. You will have to wait.
I've just been theorizing that it stands for Beyonce Knowles.
Knowles with a K.
Yeah. Is that how you spell it? I think that's how you spell it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a screen.
I'm not a big Destiny's Child fan.
No, why not? What kind of hobbies do you have besides comedy?
I like skating. I play music.
Why do you? Okay, let me ask you this. Let's get deep down.
Okay.
If you like skating so much, how come you have an electric skateboard?
Well, it helps me get around. But also, back in 2013, I was ran over by a car.
What?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, it did really suck. I didn't even stop. It's a drunk driver.
Hit and run.
Yeah. I read a bit about it. It's not the nicest piece, but, you know, it's something that serious for my life. It changed everything for me. And I didn't know if I was going to keep my leg or if I was going to be able to walk again. Just my right leg. Everything below the right knee was destroyed. Yeah. So it was like a long recovery. And then when I came back, it was like a whole year before I was like really able to be active again without like being in excruciating pain.
Nice.
And so like when I finally got a skateboard again, I realized like I had to do things differently. I'm just cruising now. I can't even, like I used to run 3 to 5 miles a day.
Oh, and wow. It's like, now I feel bad for Heskey.
Thanks a lot. That's the worst part.
I'm the worst interviewer either. Or the only one I got right now. Or you and... Oh, I'm pointing at the guest. And, I don't know. Whatever. That's not worth finishing.
Did you see there's a new Subway item? I think they stole it from you. It's a pretzel. It's a pretzel pizza. Foot long.
What is this? No, I did not see that.
Jared is evil.
Listen, Jared, did he inspire you to do comedy?
No.
So what? First of all, are you using a stage name or is that your real name?
This is my real name. Yeah.
Hell yeah. One of the brave souls.
I don't think
that's stupid souls.
That I know of.
That's really his real name then. Couldn't it costs extra. Huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of documents, you know. Space.
Your parents just could have slipped one in there for free, but they didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my name.
Hell yeah. This is good. It's a good name. So how did you get into comedy?
I've been a fan of comedy for a long time. Uh-huh. And I've always been kind of like the funny guy, the prankster, I'm a middle child.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and then my last two girlfriends...
I was going to roast you, but I decided...
You're going to roast me?
I was going to roast you, and I'm
like, oh, what are you doing on stage?
No, I'm just trying to, like, I got feedback that, oh, one episode, actually, I got roasted. Oh, your last episode had no energy. I'm like, oh, so that Joshua Boya that's been on the podcast twice.
Oh, okay.
He roasted me. That was a good roast.
Okay.
Well,
did you call in to roast you?
No, the roast battle.
Oh, okay.
Roast battle. But this isn't about me. Would you ever want to do a roast battle?
I would love to do a roast battle, yeah. I was in discussion with two people that want to do it. I'm not certain that we've already signed up for it. But yeah, getting back to the question, like my last two girlfriends were like, you gotta do comedy, like, you're so funny. And then, like, the most recent one would literally take me to the Comedy Store and sign me up. And I'd be like, I'm not going up there. I have no material. And I interviewed at American Comedy Company for a bartending position. And at the time, the manager only wanted to hire comedians because they were having such bad turnover. And the people that were sticking around were typically comics.
Right.
So, like, that...
She just lied. No.
That, but that week, I signed up for the store, and I did terrible. And yeah. I just kept coming back.
Sweet. How long ago was that?
October 24th, last year.
October 24th, 2023.
Yeah.
Some people are lazy. They don't want to go back and look at the date. They want to know it in the moment.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it because people always ask me how long I've been doing it. Like, that's where it ends. Like, we don't want to talk to you anymore. New guy.
No, you running your own show. You were helping out with the Hugo Lounge.
Yeah. I was super excited about that. It's funny how that happened too. Like, I bought a crowd back from here. We closed out Madhouse Bar. We went to Star Bar. Uh-huh. And then they're like, let's go get food. And there's like, everything was closed. So we went to this 24-hour taco shop in my neighborhood. And they're like, hey, can we come over for beers? I'm like, I have no beers. But I know a spot. So I took them to the Hookah Lounge.
Wow.
And then they told him that I'm hilarious. And he's like, great, you want to do an open mic? And I think at that point, I'd been doing comedy for like 3 or 4 weeks. Wow. And so in my head, I'm like, absolutely not. I would never do that.
Right.
I thought about it. I was just like, yeah, it would be great. But unfortunately, I'm so busy. Like, I'm only available on Saturdays. He's like, perfect. I'm supposed to say no.
You're like, you don't want the lead to die. You want to drag it out. And yeah. He just agrees.
Like, I've heard that, like, just say yes to everything. And like, I kind of have done that, like, with Rin. Yeah. Careers that I've gone after, they're like, hey, do you know how to do this? And I don't. But I'll, like, Google it or figure it out.
So what was the last one before comedy you were doing?
I was bartending.
Yeah. You're like, I didn't know how to bartend, but you said you did?
No. I mean, I've spent 15 years under the influence. I know how to bartend. But in fact, it was like I started as a part-time job, started working in the service industry. I had a work-from-home gig during COVID. And I really liked it. And I just kept moving up really quickly. And they're like, do you feel comfortable trying this out? And I was like, yeah. And then they just kept having me bartend. And just kept doing it.
Cool.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I had to do a lot of homework, you know, studying at YouTube University.
That's cool.
It's a good exercise, too, because I'm actually kind of shy. Definitely an introvert.
Okay. I did well.
Yeah.
Which is ironic.
Yeah, it's ironic, but it's like a good exercise to get yourself out there.
So, like, after a night of comedy or hanging out or whatever, you just, like, got to go home and, like, charge?
Yeah, I definitely feel like, and especially, like with, like, prolonged beers, like, I'm out all night. Like, I did Madhouse open mic. I did somebody else's open mic here in the neighborhood, and then, like, yeah. I went to... You know, Factory or ACC or something like that also. It's just so much of it is like connecting with other people, even off stage,
yeah.
That I'm just like, dude, I'm done. Sit at home, not talk to anybody. Hang out with my dog in silence. Go for a long walk or skate.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, once you are always a fan of comedy, but once you started, did it?
No, I was humiliated my first time.
Oh, okay.
They put me in the very front at the store, and there's like only comedians there at that point. Maybe like 6 or 7 people in the crowd.
Yeah.
And they put me on first. And I was terrified.
So well, before, it's a luck of the draw.
It's a bucket pull for sure. But yeah, I was on first. So I was like,
you watch the bucket pull?
I watch it every week.
Is he a magician or something? Like, has like little codes on the back.
It's
like,
I mean, you can already have a list here and then pull out a blank piece of paper here.
No, I've seen, you can watch, sometimes you can see through the paper because it's thin and you see the name backwards.
Can you see it? Have you seen it before you read
not
it?
Not every name.
Call me a conspiracy nut. But I got a little buzz on before I went there because I was like, dude, this is awful going on first. And then, I did terrible. I had no idea what 3 minutes was supposed to look like. I probably prepared 9 minutes, and it was a funny story, but there was no quick setup punchline or anything like that.
Right.
So I went back to the drawing board. I was like, I gotta redeem myself. started hitting up. I think Wishbone was the next one I did, and then I think by like the I had gone out every single night for a week, and by the time I did my first week, I actually had a like great set, but it was like I was getting laughs, and I was like, yeah, okay, like this is way better than day one.
Definitely sweet. So, what is your writing process?
I want to tell my story, so. I like to sit down and be like, what part of my life do I like want to share on stage? Like something that's funny that's happened to me, or something that's horrible that's happened to me, and like how can I like navigate through making it funny? And a lot of times, you know, I think back to that stuff, and it was like, you know, like joking about like the hard times going through them was how I got through them in the first place. So it's like trying to get back to that place where I was like. Oh, remember when you were miserable and you were like making fun of yourself to get along? I was just like trying to figure out that and how to like chop it up to get it to something presentable for the stage.
Makes sense.
But other than that, you know, I like reading the news. I love politics and stuff like that. I haven't shared a whole lot of politics on stage, but I have a lot of strong opinions about things. So there's definitely a lot of topics that I want to talk about and trying to, you know, point fun at the ridiculousness of whatever today's next big story is.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you can't get away from politics because politics is everywhere. Family dynamics is technically politics.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially whatever, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The bigger it is, the harder it is to have things, the truth.
Yeah. Well, I've gotten sort of like nihilistic about at least American politics lately. Yeah. So it's like it's harder and harder for me to want to talk about that specifically, but
sure.
You know, certainly there's all kinds of other ridiculous things in the news that might be like slightly tied to it that
right.
I'll touch on.
So do you ever fear that if you do current event kind of things that the joke will just get old real quick?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. But it's like there's always something happening, you know?
Sure, so you just start exercising that muscle to be able to take a news headline or a news article or whatever, magic on stage.
Yeah, and especially like there's always something that someone's getting upset about that's like a nothing story. You know, like it's still hilarious how mad Fox News was that like, Barack Obama wore a brown suit. You know?
it just shows how
that was a news story. And it's still hilarious, even like all this time that's passed. Like, whether it's relevant or not is like, you know, obviously it was never relevant.
Yeah.
Couldn't get any less relevant over time.
Yeah. Wasn't it Theodore Roosevelt that was in a wheelchair and no one really talked about it?
Yeah. Well, they kept it a secret for a while, yeah.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, there wasn't news art. Oh my God, it was so stupid. This is going to be awful lighting. Let's turn on the lights. Oh, one episode.
Now I have an idea.
One episode, the sun comes at right certain angle, and it was like just washing out like 20 minutes. It
sucks. What did you do with that?
I just got left it in. I'm like, how am I supposed to edit this? It's a CapCut. I also don't know how to. I don't want to spend a lot of time. Like, I want better sound quality. We're using microphone hooked up to my laptop and we're recording on the laptop for video, but just to capture the audio, and then my iPhone 15 is up there.
Fancy.
So, you know, I mean, it's not a $1,000 camera, but you know, it's a $1,000 phone.
More than that.
Yeah, so close. I'll see. I think maybe one day I'll have to rearrange these questions and make them in a better order. But I'm just reading them in order. If anybody wants to know why it's so weird, then now why is he asking this silly question? I asked everybody this question. I usually don't even remember what the answer is, but it's just fun to have questions in common in all the episodes.
Sure.
How did we meet?
I saw you. The first time I ever saw you was at the store during the friends and family or the potluck.
Yeah, I haven't been on.
Okay, well, it was the potluck then.
Oh, okay.
And I think...
But you were already doing comedy, right?
No, I wasn't doing comedy.
You weren't even doing comedy.
No, but that was a girl I was dating that was like, she's always taking me to open mics. She signed me up, sitting near the very front. Yeah. The first time I saw you, I was like, man, This guy's making me feel super uncomfortable.
Hell yeah!
It's all over your body. But like, I feel like the more I saw your set, I was like, oh shit, this is fucking funny. You know, but like, it took me like a little bit to be like, okay, this is a character, he's not.
Right, 3 minutes is hard to be like, okay, I'm a normal person, or I can pretend to be. Okay, ready now?
But I'd seen you, I don't know, I assume that after a few times of coming to madhouses, when I finally introduced myself to you, nobody in comedy was talking to me, so I was just trying to shoot the breeze with whoever would respond.
I try to talk and meet everybody that I can, because like, you just never know. Taryn Heffley, like, saw him and I was like, oh my god. And same with Kylie Troop, I just could tell there was something about them. They were funny, I guess. Yeah. Had a lot of potential. Like, you just tell.
Yeah.
So that's why you just, even someone that doesn't do good at the beginning, there's always like, it's always good to network and people are interesting, right? That's why I have a podcast. Podcast is because people are interesting, especially comics. It's encouraged people to do live comedy or come to live comedy.
I think that's important too, though. Yeah. It's just like treating people well. It doesn't cost anything, man. It's not that difficult. Just
right. I think I can't speak for
it's
everybody.
It's one of those things. It's a good exercise.
Yeah, I can't speak for all comics, but I think that what happens, what I've kind of heard it and seen it, is that there's so much churn. New people starting New Year's resolution January, and then they don't even make it to February. You know,
right?
So it's like, why bother talking to this guy? He's clearly not gonna keep going. He's clearly
could just be a genuinely good guy. You could become best friends, and then he quits comedy, and you're like, he's dead to me.
I mean, there's people that seemed like, you know, I caught into the comedy, and they were already in there for 3 years, 8 years, or whatever, and then they just disappear. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh. Or like, there's people that, like, you meet them, and it's like, oh, they were doing comedy, and now this is their second time back. And it's like, they seem like all on board, and then something happens, like they get fired or quit the madhouse, and all of a sudden they're out of comedy again.
Yeah. It's, like, okay. It's interesting too, though, like that sort of dynamic. It's weird because people will come here from other places with tons of comedic experience and be hilarious, and nobody cares, you know?
Well, I mean, humans are social, and booking is a hard process. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure you understand booking's a hard process. But sure. You have, say, imagine if you were just booking by yourself and you didn't know who was who.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's why you partnered, right? Because, so.
Yeah.
And, like, especially if you're running a comedy club, there's so many, like, oh my God, there's so many expenses, so many problems.
Well, I don't even mean just for the booking side, but for, like, the social side, when it's just a bunch of comics just shooting the breeze, like, right. You know, like, not talking to somebody that's, like, new, you might actually find out, like, it's like, oh, this guy's actually, like, toured before, you know?
Yeah.
He's new to San Diego, but he's been, like, doing comedy for 6 years or 10 years or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's why I try to, like, ask people, especially for, they could show up on my mic at Quanta Brewing, I'm like, recognize them, I try to, like, you know, oh, how long have you been doing comedy? And then if they say 6 years or something, oh, okay, you've been doing that at another place, you know, and they usually want to tell me, you know, where it is. Not that I'm going to remember it. Just interesting to go, Seattle or LA or whatever, just to see how that, then you see their set and then how that merges together, you know. But,
right.
Yeah. Let's not talk about comedy in general too much. Let's talk about you. Have you ever traveled for comedy?
No, not yet. Haven't done anything yet.
No, just like...
Thinking about it, I got family in Texas.
Close to Austin?
No, not close to Austin.
Damn it.
I do have a ton of friends in San Antonio area, though, which is, I think it's like an hour away. Yeah. I'm Prairie Air Force, so like a lot of my friends are from Austin or stationed in Austin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I mean, San Antonio. Lackland. San Antonio. Yeah.
Makes sense. I don't know anything. Let's see. So hobbies besides comedy, you got skateboarding.
Snowboarding.
What?
Yeah. Music. play a little guitar.
How tiny is it?
It's a full-size guitar, but I've been playing like since, I don't know, like I was 14 or 15, but just I didn't pick it up as quite as often as I used to, you know? It's like you used to do it, you know, I want to be in a band, or, you know, I want to serenade this girl. But it's just like, now it's just, you know, like, I do it because I like to do it, and I don't do it all that often, but when I do, it's fun. I have, like, way nicer guitars than I am skilled at playing them.
So how many guitars do you have?
I have two. I have an Novation and a Gibson SG.
So those are both electric guitars?
No, the SG is an electric, and then the Ovation is an acoustic electric. It's like something like Bob Marley used to play. It's even like from the 80s.
Nice. Sweet.
Yeah.
Sounds fun. Yeah, I want to get better at music, make more music.
What do you play?
I played the iPad. I've made songs, and I was like, how did I do that?
It's a mean tambourine.
I don't know. I don't know how to read music. All winds up, and it's like, oh, that part sounds really good.
Yeah. But Jimi Hendrix didn't know how to read music.
Yeah, it's not that you have to. It's just context for what I'm saying.
Yeah, so he developed his own way to express how he's writing his music. Yeah. And it was like you'd use colors and shapes and stuff. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
This is another language, you know.
But were other people able to read it, or he just was able to?
Oh, man, it's like Da Vinci. You don't want other people to read it. It's just for you.
Hopefully some of it survived and people can say, oh, like, this is this song.
Like a Rosetta Stone for Jimi Hendrix's page music.
So, it's colors and shapes, so it's like art, too.
Right.
It's visual art and audio.
For sure.
Video, too, because you... Music! Sweet! So do you wish you started comedy earlier?
I don't know that it would have worked if I started it earlier. I feel like I'm getting in at the right time. I have enough life experience behind me. And
right.
Pretty comfortable in my own skin at this point.
That's good, because it's all over your body.
Thanks for noticing, Aaron.
I mean, I haven't seen all of his skin.
How do you think I got on this show?
Oh, no. Jump the line. Let's see. I'm tired. Are you tired?
I'm pretty tired, yeah.
Why are we tired? Life is hard, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of a night owl.
Who?
I've also always had, like, a hard time sleeping. And it didn't get any easier, like, being an Afghan vet.
Doesn't sound good. So what was the worst thing about war?
The worst thing?
Or your experience?
There's any number of things that you can think of that are not comical. But maybe some of the funniest things?
What's the worst thing that you think that later could be funny? And maybe later is now.
And it's rough, just like... imagine living in a 200-man tent with all of your coworkers.
Yikes.
Like, you can't get away from them. With them all the time. And, you know, like, it's all dudes. It smells, you know?
Yeah, I bet.
You know, you're in bunk beds, you know? And, like, we're men who got to handle certain difficult situations sometimes. And half of your coworkers are there.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's not a fun time.
But you made it through it.
Survivor.
But you got out because you were like, screw that.
Not again. Thank you very much.
Yeah, makes sense. So right now, what are your goals in comedy?
Goals in comedy? I don't know. I'd like to get booked at one of the comedy clubs. That'd be freaking awesome. I don't know. But at the same time, you know, like, Madhouse open mics have shut down. And for me, I feel like... like, my opportunities have only gotten better. And realizing that, like, I don't know, I was getting into it with somebody the other day, and it was just like, dude, you know, like, the Madhouse open mic shutting down have been the best thing for me at the time. Like, I was doing, like, you know, with Madhouse being open, I was doing, like, maybe 40 minutes of comedy a week. You know, I was running my own stuff and, like, getting booked on other shows after my Madhouse closed, and I'm doing, like, over an hour of comedy every week.
Nice.
And like, even if it never comes back, I just realized, like, dude, I can make my own way. So I'd love to take a gamble on myself, go do comedy in some other city. And certainly, like, in the immediacy here in San Diego, just, you know, being a regular at one of the clubs would be awesome.
That's good. Good goal. So, do you have like a favorite fan interaction? Someone was a fan of you, or you were a fan of another comic?
I haven't met a lot of comics that I revere outside of the local area. There are some really good comics here, and I mean, I'm working with one of them. You know, he's a great partner, and I mean, ever since I met him, things have been really cool. As people told me, like when I first met him, someone came up to me and was like, "You can't talk to him, man. Like, he's been doing comedy for like 10 years.
What?
He's like, stay in your lane." This is like,
oh my god!
Like, sorry,
what kind of crazy
local celebrity? Like,
what kind of crazy bullshit is that?
Was, I don't know, man. There's a hierarchy, you know. I've had a lot of fun interactions with people that liked my comedy. Like, that's how I got the open mic in North Park that I was running. I signed a breast before. And a pelvis, only to find out that her boyfriend was like huge, just like standing right next to her.
Oh my god.
And that was fun. I always told people like my second favorite thing to do here at Madhouse, if like I'm not getting on stage, it's making out with some pretty girl in the lobby.
That's awesome. But,
yeah, I mean, things have been really fun. Like, I'm always happy to meet someone that's enjoying comedy, or even if, you know, like sometimes you are always getting unsolicited advice, right? Whether it be from another comic.
Right, sometimes I just have to stop myself. Or when I give people advice, I make sure I say, all I can tell you is that this is work for me.
Sure.
And you can maybe try it and then see how the how you like it and the audience likes it.
Yeah,
right?
Try anything once.
Well, within reason, I don't suggest some things.
No.
Because they might be too violent.
No. So you'll never try genocide?
No,
not even once. You heard it here, folks.
On purpose. You never know. So, what is your favorite place to do comedy?
And I really loved that Hookah Lounge. It was like home base for me. No, I really love American Comedy Companies. Is a really great spot. The Gold Room's great. Dude, your mic is awesome. Quantum Brewing is very fun room.
It's Fridays.
There's hardly been a time where I've gone to Quantum and I was like, man, this room is terrible. Usually I'm like, dude, this is so cool. Like, this is happening. And most of the time that I've been there, it's like everyone there is there to see comedy. And
yeah.
It's been fun. But yeah, definitely ACC is it's just so easy. You don't even have to have a good set. You're going to be all right.
Don't get too cocky. You can still bomb.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Not me. I mean, you can. Oh, of course I have.
It is possible. Like, you can just get on a lucky streak. Is that actually rewarding?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 30, 40
seconds.
Yeah, it's
like
just
that.
So small.
You guys keeping track of us?
Are you still there? Are you still listening? Let us know in the comments if you heard the part where I asked you, are you still listening? All right, cool. Just in case people are scrubbing through. Oh, let's listen to the beginning. Let's listen to the
Are we
end.
Live?
No, I'm just saying. But you'd be surprised how many people just, like, jump around.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Oh, that's interesting. Or maybe they're, like, listening. And they're doing other stuff and not paying attention.
Yeah, a little buzzword comes in.
And they're like, comment, and then go back, and they'll actually listen to it because if we said something that were like caught their attention.
Especially comics are like that, I feel like. Yeah. Like, I'll talk to a comic after a set, and they'll be like, oh, you were talking about this? And I was like, no, I said something about that. That was the only thing that you heard. Like, all of a sudden your ears prick up, you just hear one little buzzword.
Right.
Like, oh, it was nothing like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Have you had anybody try to tell your joke back to you and they like totally didn't get it right at all?
No, I don't get it. No, I have had people tell my jokes back to me, but never like really butcher it. But it's usually like, oh man, I really liked this joke. Or,
right.
You know, there a lot of times it's like somebody, they only hear like a small portion of it. They don't know the full thing.
Right.
Why did you talk about this? So if you're listening, this is the whole context.
Right. It really makes it better when it has context.
Sure.
So, do you have any merch?
I do. Yeah, I brought some for you. I just have stickers.
Oh, this is in your backpack. I was like, what is he pointing at? Wow, that's so cool. Do you want to show the audience the stickers?
Sure. I'll go grab them.
Yay! This is an exclusive look. No, I'm just joking. It's not exclusive. I'm sure you can find it on his Instagram. If in the past, maybe in the future, well, we'll talk to you in the future. Here's this merch.
So Alan and I are running a show We're going to open up 2 new spots this month. Right now, we're at Cork and Brew over on Park and Market on Saturdays.
That's in San Diego.
And our brand is Top Shelf Comedy Shows.
Nice.
And I don't know. I just figured people want to support us. If Cam Patterson, not that we're as good as Cam Patterson, but if Cam Patterson can sell rocks for $10, like, move stickers, like,
yeah, you
know,
cool.
Put it on your fridge, you know, pick us up. Yeah,
so it's kind of shiny.
But yeah, Top Shelf Comedy Shows.
So, what, you want to shout out who did the stickers?
I did. I designed.
I mean, like, what did the company?
I did it. It's all me. From
all you? Yeah. Primo. So you just get really good. Paper?
Yeah, it's vinyl sticker paper and vinyl just print it at home, cut it with a straight edge and good to go. It's like, you know,
nice.
It's a way to get people to like to support and also like sort of remind them like, hey, like if this is what, if you want to find us, this is a good way to get a hold of us.
Right, vinyl sticker paper.
Vinyl printer paper, yeah.
Oh, I don't know how to spell anything.
It's with a Y, V-I-N-Y-L.
V-I-N-Y-L. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Sticker paper. Cut that out. Awkward pause. We're just tired and thinking. Typing. And also, like, I can't type and talk at the same time. Oh, what are you going to do? That's interesting. I probably just asked it out of order. I'm like, trying to look at the questions. Oh, I see. I just got lost. So, what is your favorite joke? It can be yours or someone else's, or don't say mine. Besides me.
Oh, favorite joke, like, of all time?
No, the audience only
understands. One of my favorite comics of all time is George Carlin, and I love how he, like, navigates politics and religion and all of, like, the irreverent anger that he has. You know, like the big club joke. It's always one big club and you're not it. They don't care about you, you know. Yeah. He was talking about like the whole like the pro-life thing. It's like they want live babies so they can become dead soldiers, you know.
Yeah.
It's like it's dark stuff, but it's like, you know, you can see like the sort of like ridiculousness in the line of thinking, like these contradictory beliefs that people are all holding at the same time.
Right. Yeah, because people are complicated.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, what was your family life growing up?
I grew up with, my stepdad was in the Navy. 3 siblings. I'm the middle child. Kind of a troublemaker. Always a goofball. And we moved around like every 2 years. Pretty rough childhood. A lot of violence. And
violence towards you?
But I ended up like, doing exceptional in school. I got emancipated. I graduated early and I joined the Air Force as soon as I could.
Wow.
At 17. Went to Afghanistan for my 19th birthday. That's just history, man. I love my family. It was just, you know, my parents were really young when they had me. So
yeah. I see. Yep. So do you have like a favorite inside joke?
Inside joke. One you tell indoors.
Most of my jokes are inside.
It's stand-up comedy, man. It's not fucking...
Inside joke is just something between you.
Me and my siblings, when we were kids, we used to spend days playing a single Monopoly game. And, you know, like, when you're playing that horrible, horrible family-wrecking game, you get delirious at a certain point. It's so long.
Yeah.
And I remember I was, like, so tired at one point. I'm winning the game, so I'm like buying houses all the time. So I'm like just throwing cash on the board, like 6 houses, and like saying it like all German. I was like 11 or 12 years old, and me and my brother, whenever we say something about houses, we always say like 6 houses. It's so stupid.
Oh,
it's something
so cool.
From like way back when. It's if you weren't there, you didn't get it, you know.
That's right. That's really cool. So how many brothers and sisters did you have? You said you were in the middle child. So
oldest son, sisters.
So but there's only 3 and you're in the right in the middle?
So
or there's 3 more?
3 more, yeah.
Cool. So what's the biggest audience that you've performed comedy for?
Probably ACC. Like
was it packed or?
Yeah, like 150 people.
Nice.
Normal nights for me are like between 20 and 50. We're doing really good, though, at our show. We're starting to see a regular consistency of like around 45 people every night, so I'm stoked about
that. Damn, that's more people than Quantum Brewing. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. Put a lot of work into it. Number one on Google. Hopefully by the time this podcast drops, we're still number one.
That's cool. So other art is like you design your own flyers and you got the stickers. And
yeah, I don't think I'm good at it though. It's not something that I like to do.
Right.
So it's like either I can do it myself or I have to pay somebody to do it. And right. I did have a graphics guy, but he relapsed. And so it's kind of like left to fend for myself. And I'm just like, I could do this, but I hate it.
Right, exactly. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't want to build my own website.
I already have my own domain. I've had it for like a month and a half now. Haven't done anything with it.
Registered it at this one site, and it's like, it's more technical than I want. Like back when I was coding, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. Read all the documentation, have it just work exactly. Like now I'm just like, don't have any patience. Like, what? You said to do that, and it's not working. I'm like, I want to move the domain to another place that's easier.
Yeah.
But the website I have it in, it seems like you have to do a little bit of work to transfer domains. But, well, I guess it could be their fault.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not transferring. They're like...
For me, it's more like the aesthetics, like colors, the font. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm not Martha Stewart, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I don't always know what you want, but you know sometimes it's like, oh, I don't want that.
Exactly.
You're like, oh my god, I have no idea what I do want.
And I also, like, I don't know, like, even like when it comes to like fashion or like getting dressed, I'm just like, I don't know, what has like less labels and stuff on, like, just wear a freaking plain t-shirt every day. Plain t-shirt and jeans, you know? That's how excited I am about like visually aesthetic things, you know?
Yeah, it can be distracting, right? Like, you don't want to wear certain things on stage because then they keep thinking about it. Why is he wearing shorts? Or
I'm just that way. Like, I own 30 black V-necks and like 4 or 5 colored ones. That's cool. Very cool, yeah.
So you like V-necks?
Love them.
Sweet. For the audio listeners, he showed his V-neck.
That's right. I'm going to see the chest hair too in there.
Yeah, he gets new chest hair every day. It's very painstaking process. He like glues it on.
Hair plugs.
It makes it easier. Let's see. Have you ever done a character on stage?
Character. I don't think that I have done a character. I mean, I have like, there's been a few times where I've like tried to like, yeah, I guess impersonate like a girlfriend or like some complaining person.
Right.
And I don't think, I don't know if it's because I'm new or just this feels disingenuous, like I'm trying too hard or something.
Okay.
I haven't really felt like that's...
But he thinks you're trying too hard and not trying to make the joke sell better, like get better.
Yeah, I just think like using my own voice just comes across more genuine.
Okay.
I'm not like really one to like mock someone in their voice unless it's like really intentional. You're like, you know, like I'm not gonna like.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, do a different voice without making it seem mocking, right?
Yeah.
Or is that your own? Oh, if I'm gonna do a different voice, I'm like, can't help but mock.
No, I have to. If I'm doing someone else's voice, I'm making fun of them for sure. Just like a pretzel.
I okay, I get it. So
just kidding. I love that joke.
Doesn't matter if you love it or not. I'm selling merch. Well, not the pretzel one, but I sold another comedy or worse voicemail.
Okay.
T-shirt. I sold 2 of them. And people have actually bought it online. I know those people.
Sure.
But still, I didn't have to buy it myself, have it shipped to me, and then go, what size was it? It's nice because
it's
the awesome idea is to make money in your sleep.
Yeah.
Right? I woke up like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say her name.
But it also goes hand in hand to like when you're like building an audience or like a following. like having something that they can hold and like take home with them. It's like, and put their wallet in it. They're invested into it now.
Wait, you know? They can put their wallet into it? Oh no, I do have shorts.
You don't sell fanny packs?
I could. Oh my god, that website has so many things. It's easy to like distract
you. If anyone could sell fanny packs, dude, I bet you could make a killing selling fanny packs. They're coming back.
I know. Whoever named them fanny packs, that was part of the problem. Just call them man purses and just have the fun of it. Or just be let's steal the word purse and should it be feminine at all? Well, yeah. Who cares if it's feminine, right? Shoot, last night I wore a dress on stage.
Well, some of my favorite people are feminine.
I took off my pants and there was a dress underneath. Okay. But I did. It was funny.
Where was this?
At the Madhouse.
No way.
My cross-dressing joke?
Uh-huh.
I say, I'm not going to say the whole joke, but it brings up cross-dressing, and I'm kind of, there's a twist, it's a pun, and then I started, saying, but then I do the pun in a dress, right? And then I was going to work it in, because I'm, wearing my merch, and then I'm like, the dress is also my merch, you know? So I was, figuring out a way to, show off the merch. Yeah, I don't really want to wear a dress.
Yeah.
It's not. In fact, wear a dress and it can make you feel vulnerable. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Like I can understand at least a little bit why women feel vulnerable, because a dress isn't much to cover up.
I said I'd try anything once. You said you wouldn't do genocide. I'm not wearing dresses.
Just wear one at a time. That's part of the problem. You think you gotta buy more than one dress?
No different designs.
I'm working on it.
Just one dress for now.
I only printed one dress, and I think I've only put design on one. Even though it's fairly simple. It's put the picture on the thing. Okay, line it up, or shrink it down, line it up exactly. It still takes time, even though it's pretty fast. It still takes time. And then you have it saved, and now the website that I have is great, because it's you can push it to Etsy, you can push it to Square Online, you can push it to Squarespace, all these partners. And each have pluses and minuses, but it's not like you publish the store and it goes to all the stores, you have to do it separate for each one.
Well, we're only a quarter away from prom, dude. Have you thought about a promo code for prom?
Oh, actually, hopefully by the time this is live, it will already happen. I'm going to be doing what would you call it? Oh, I know what it's called. I had the ChatGPT help me with the name I put in with the description, and it is networking. Oh my God, I should look it up. Community networking blitz, it was better than that now. But so the idea is, hopefully this ages really well and it's worked. Say that someone wants to help me sell merch, right? So they let me know, I create a coupon code specifically just for them, and then say it's I'm trying to make money. So it's like $1 off for the customer. So sure. Send it for the customer, and then I would match that for the person.
Yeah.
If you sell one shirt, they get $1 off. And you can just tell them, say that you were in a shirt, right? I would just encourage them, you did something.
But they're an affiliate, essentially, too.
Yeah, it's like they don't have an actual affiliate program. I have to keep track of it myself.
Sure.
That's why I would have a different coupon code for each person that wants to do it. That way, you keep track of, Jimmy sold the shirt, not Justin, it was Jimmy.
Sure.
Because you got to know who to give the money to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? That's a bad idea, good idea, or?
Yeah, I mean, any way that you can market and involve more people. It's so much harder to do business by yourself.
I could keep going along and selling a shirt or something here and there, but that's not what I want. It would be nice if everybody was wearing pretzels or Comedy or Worse or whatever.
Sure.
You know, I have to obviously wear them all the same.
I just want these on people's fridges, so they're what are we doing this weekend? Oh, we're going to the Top Shelf show.
You thought of magnets?
Yeah, Alan was telling me I need to do magnets, but it's like, I can do this right now from home.
But
that's simple.
You're halfway to a magnet right now.
But you don't need a magnet.
But you know what I mean, right?
It sticks to a fridge.
You're halfway to a magnet. All you gotta do is stick it on a magnet.
That's true.
You don't have to even print it on a magnet.
That's true.
There, that was my unsolicited advice. Look how well he took it that time.
I'm so upset that he did this.
Oh, shit! Should have asked him first if he was upset or you want my advice. Have you ever won a comedy contest?
No, I haven't. No.
Have you applied to any?
No.
Okay, well, he's one for one, 0 for 0. How is that one?
I have 2 opponents for the roast battles. Not that that counts as a contest, but I mean, there is a winner. So, those will be fun.
Nice. Hopefully you can get in and get scheduled.
Yeah, it's going to be like freaking August at this point by the time we get on schedule. Stay tuned.
Yeah, I've lost 2 roast battles, but luckily I'm scheduled already.
Who are you going up to against next?
Mario Man?
I never heard of him.
I know.
Are you going to LA for that?
No, I didn't do good enough to go bump up to LA.
How?
But Joshua Boyan, my opponent this last time, the blind comp, the blind Jedi.
So then how did you get paired with Mario? If you don't know this guy, they just book you?
Because Gordon Downs that runs this. Yep. Well, I think part of it, you can lose but still do good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't do good enough. I mean, think about it. It, like, all these factors led to the moment where Joshua excelled.
Yeah.
Right? And if I sucked so bad, or I was the one that had to pick somebody, right? So,
sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't, all I can know is what that I can deduce and what's kind of been, like, not, well, I mean, I don't know, I'm tired, it's hard to explain.
For sure.
So.
Words are hard.
Especially when they're in your mouth. For whatever reason, he's like, do you want to do it again? And I said, yes. Luckily, he didn't ask me the night of, because I probably would have said no.
Sure.
Because just, you know, processing the whole thing. Because it was hard, but then learned so much. Like, I know my strategy now. It's to just have so many jokes that I can just, oh, he did something about sex. I'm gonna match him and try. You know what I mean? Like, and be more like in the moment. Because like when Joshua roasted me about the podcast, I in the moment thought it was funny, but then my comeback wasn't good. No, you kind of want to, you know what I mean?
I liked watching that roast, though. And I think one of the cool things that people kind of discount about the roast is it's not even so much a contest as you versus them. Because you guys are technically an act.
Right.
Ideally, you both want to make the best set of the night together. That's the way I kind of look at it sometimes. And you see a lot of times, like, people that are friends will roast each other. And those typically go really well.
But I don't think I would want to do a roast where we were prepared ahead of time.
Yeah.
It's just hard to, like, I don't think I'm such a great actor to come up with those, oh, but already know it's coming, so you're not thrown off. It's actually a good skill to, like, I mean, that was part of it, is that, you know, like, and the judge was like, oh, you were kind of nervous, or, you know, what did he say? You got unsettled or whatever. And in the moment, I'm like, attitude. But then I listened back to it, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I kind of started to say something. I stopped, and then I finished the joke. And it's just, I don't even remember exactly. It was just so much. You know, I was, like, trying to remember what I was going to say and say it, you know, like, really clearly and stuff. Because, like, my nervousness comes out in different ways. Like, I'll talk too fast or talk too loud. I don't want to have, you know, the right tone.
Yeah, I also think, though, there's some opponents, too, that are, like, just so hard. Like, you know, just the fact that Joshua has, you know, his walking stick and he's visually impaired, like,
blind.
People empathize with that
immediately.
They're like, you know, it vilifies you immediately. And like, I had one person that challenged me to a roast battle, and I was like, I would never. And then I was like thinking, like, oh shoot, you're actually would be a difficult opponent, because you're so freaking nice. Everyone will hate me. You know what I mean?
Are you going to say who it was?
No, I'm not going to say it.
You know who they are. That's cool. Yeah, so the roast. So who, like, can you reveal who you're going to roast?
So I still have to talk to them about it again, because we haven't talked to Gordon yet, or I haven't found out if they reached out, but I was talking with Matt and Ben about it. So hopefully not dropping the ball on that too soon, but we did agree at one point. I haven't done anything with it. We've been busy with the shows and trying to keep things moving.
You got to jump in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes it easier when Gordon's like asking them to get up an opponent.
Sure.
Then it's, oh, okay, and then you already have an opponent.
Yeah, it was just everyone's like reaching out to him, and I've been wanting to do it, and I've had a couple people challenge me, and I've challenged somebody, but finally got a couple people that agreed to something, so I really want to do it. It seems like a fun, you know, style of comedy that I actually really love. Like, a huge fan of Greg Giraldo and Anthony Jeselnik, you know.
That's sweet. Look forward to that.
Yeah.
So, what is your best booking story? Either you booked somebody, you're like, oh my god, I can't believe you booked this person, or you got booked on a show, you're like, wow, this is so amazing. Just remember, this is the best booking story as of today, so...
I got booked within my fourth week of comedy.
That's the best story I've heard so far.
I never met the guy. So I was barking here at Madhouse. And so they moved me up the list. And this person who was supposed to be on deck started recording. And then they called me up. And he's like, what the heck? And then like he records my set. And then hits me up a day or two later and books me. And I'm like, how did you, like, hear about me? And it turns out I actually have a mutual friend we didn't know was, like, a mutual friend. She's an old Army friend of mine. I was pretty stoked about that. Because it's, like, I don't know, to, like, just to have, like, a good set in your first, you know, weeks of comedy and have someone appreciate you like that. It made me feel like I'm on a good trajectory, you know, things to happen this quickly for me without asking. And then thinking, like, what happens if I actually had the balls to ask, you know? And sure. I continue to grow, you know? Like, that trajectory, I think it's what keeps me... Like, when I have those four worst parts on stage, you know? Or off stage, you know, in social interactions, like, it kind of keeps you grounded and keeps your head in the game.
Hell yeah. Nice. That's a good story. So, have you ever been on Kill Tony, or you want to go to...
I have never been on Kill Tony.
Okay.
I love Kill Tony.
Okay.
And also sometimes I'm like, dude, this is horrible. But I don't think that my style of comedy is necessarily great for that format. I want to be like more of a storyteller.
Sure.
You know? I'm not crazy with the one liners. And I love, you know, guys that can do the one liners, you know, Mitch Hedberg, Jeselnik, you know, Stephen Wright, you know, but and there's a lot of great comics here that do the one liner thing and can punch up a minute really quickly. And it's just not like something that is my style, so yeah. I don't think it would be good for a good format for me. But it is, it would be fun if I ever had the opportunity. Like, I would never be in like go to Austin, Texas, and do comedy and not try to get up. You know, it's just, I don't know. I prefer to, like, I mean, even 3 minute sets sometimes feels like what am I here for, man?
Just rushing.
Yeah. Like, when you can pace yourself through a set sometimes, especially when it's late at night and everyone's drunk and passed out in their seat, you know, like, right. Sometimes you got really, like, slow it down a little bit, peek clearly into the microphone.
You're giving a lot of good advice. Oh, yeah.
So you know what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah, I know. I was just at an open mic, the Proof Bar, on last Monday, and I was just like, it was just a coincidence, pulling from a bucket, and like, doesn't have a good set, or, you know, no, I've even seen some of those people, before that.
Could be a tough room.
You know, yeah, it was just all comics, small group, but then I'm like, got up there, and I'm like, you need to slow down, enunciate, speak clearly, those are different things, or speak up, I guess.
Sure.
Whatever. As I started my set. can't help but give you unsolicited advice because you're torturing me. But after I went up and like the you know rest of them, I don't know, saying that I caused them to be better, but
yeah,
but hopefully. Or
I used to see that all the time here, like somebody that's like really good do horrible, and it's like, dude, look at the clock. They're wasted. You started speaking super fast and they sunk into their seat and then they got like stressed out and then they just tuned you out. You know, and it's like, that's something cool about like the here that was awesome was you have the opportunity to see so many people go up. So you can learn the room. You can learn all kinds of skills and techniques that work and things that don't work and things that are specific to that audience. So that's something that I think is invaluable.
Absolutely, but I remember there was times where the best rooms sometimes are so full that we can't have all the comics in here.
Yeah.
So that's the catch 22. You got to hear it from someone else. Oh, it's a hot room, but they like dirty stuff or whatever.
Sure.
It's got to have rely on what they're saying to believe them.
I always try to come up like two or three comics before I'm up, try to get a feel for it.
Yeah, if you're at least in the hole or whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine to come in, but you can't have everybody in because it's like we need lots of civilians.
Yeah.
I like to call the non-comic civilians.
Me too.
And you never know when they're going to get drafted, right? They're going to catch the bug.
Sure.
Yeah, something like a lot of times there's like people that you see over and over and over, and then you can almost predict it. It's like, yeah, they're going to, or just tell that, oh yeah, it's because they're going to want to try comedy.
They're waiting for that just little bit of confidence to push them over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I kind of did that.
Yeah, see? All right, here we go. What's the worst thing about comedy right now?
Worst thing about comedy? I think the worst thing about comedy is oftentimes I feel like here in the scene, it feels like there's a lot of inside baseball. There's a lot of...
Oh, what is inside of it?
It's like a good old boys club sometimes, you know? And it's, I feel like it's not good for the scene. Like, we're setting the ceiling here.
But have you heard of other comedy scenes? They're way worse.
Are they?
Every one of them, but there are comedy scenes.
Yeah.
But then, there's parts of it that are good to take away, because I heard that stuff, and like, I was like, yeah, I'm going to make my mic more like...
Sure.
That... But if every mic was like that, that would be bad.
Sure.
You know, if every mic was like, you know, you want a better spot, do better. Then that would be horrible, because then how is anybody going to get better?
Oh, is that why you bumped me 4 spots last Friday?
I understand. There's lots of factors.
Excuses.
There's a lot of factors. You want to hear all of them? It's really complicated.
No.
Really fast. And it's like, there's sometimes when people will tie,
sure.
Right? They're just about as good as each other. They got here at the same time. But then it's like one signed up like they should and one just showed up, right?
Sure.
So it's like, or I even just told that guy. Or like last week, I was just tired like I am now. And I was just like, everything was like a lot. People were getting more time, but it wasn't on purpose. It was just like, because I was like, move this. Like, so like,
yeah.
Tired and just like, doing it bad, like, and then be like, where's that person? And then I ask, oh yeah, he's right there. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, he is right there.
I just think though, like, that sometimes it does feel like, you know, they say like a rising tide lifts all ships. And I do feel like there's certain things that are happening in the scene that is sort of controlling outcomes for other people. And it's like, it's not getting enough exposure for other people that like coming or talented or deserve a shot. And I think that that like there's an element of gatekeeping that can allow for like to give you some more credibility, but there's also an element of gatekeeping where it's like, oh, it's just like me and the boys, you know, and it's like,
oh no,
it's not,
I,
it's
I don't
not, like,
like
useful,
that part,
you know?
Gatekeeping to me is helpful for people to work towards that gate.
Sure.
And then pass it when they are doing things they should, like getting better at comedy.
Sure.
Like, come on, just follow the rules. It's not, the open mic isn't a bringer show, but share it on social media. Like, you know, like, come on. You know?
Yeah.
But, or help out, pass out flyers or whatever. Because we're just trying to make it, or even like, I have a meetup group, and some people are doing good about you were doing good, but then you stop that. The Cloud Nine. But is your new events on the meetup group?
No. Are you having shows on there or just mics?
Is it a paid show?
No, it's a free show right now.
As long as it's free.
Yeah. For the next few weeks, once we start having to turn people away at the door, we're gonna I'm telling everyone, it's like I'm waiting. I want 3 weeks in a row where we're so full, we have to tell people sorry, you gotta get here earlier, you know. And then hopefully we can start charging money or moving into a bigger space, or both, because as it costs money to run the shows,
Yeah.
And we want to book better talent. We want to, higher production quality and just keep growing. So
yeah, you want to quit your day job and just do
comedy. That's the worst part of comedy. They don't pay me enough at these open mics.
Exactly. Yeah, my show is free, and then some weeks are good. I got $29. Other weeks, this last one, $2.
You made two?
I got $2 in tips, and then got passed around twice.
The first show that I ran, we're going to book. You told me to do it. You said, you need to book showcases. And I was like, fine, I'll do it. And then Alan was like, dude, you need to book showcases. And I was like, all right, fine, I'll do it. So I was like, I'll do it once a month. And he was like, no, you need to do it in 2 weeks. And I'm like, I want people to know about it. I don't want to book it and then have nobody show up. And
Alan's the only reason I gave you the feedback of showcases is because you were saying what you wanted.
Yeah.
And I translated that in my experience. And I'm like, well, you want really what you want is a showcase, not an open mic.
So we booked it, and then and it was great. We filled the place to the gills, and I paid for some advertising, and I did some barking and everything beforhand. But I ended up losing $20 on the whole thing.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, Matt Eisendrath, he was performing on the show. He was like, here, man, you should never lose money on a show. And he gave me $20, and I was like, why, dude? I booked you. He's like, just keep it.
That's crazy.
But I don't know. He was super stoked that it turned out that way. And I don't think anyone expected it to be as good of a show as it was, especially for my first time. I was,
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone was stoked
about
it.
That was a great mic and then show. Yeah. I definitely noticed a difference when it was a show. We miss it.
Yeah, well, we're working on a new spot for the mic. But, you got to have all the right things. You got to have an owner that's willing to work with, location that's am I going to be able to get people in this local area to come in on a on a regular basis? And then on top of that, it's I really need a budget. I can't be bringing in 30 to 50 people into your establishment and not getting anything for it. It's just finding the right amount of all of that for the new venue, and then just realizing some places are perfect venues for comedy or would be a great venue for a show, but you're not going to settle for less. The reason why we're not doing things at the Hookah Mic anymore is because they don't deserve us. It's just plain and simple. Real piece of work. I'm so grateful they opened their door to us, but I never want to go back there.
That's good. So what is the best way for the public to get a hold of you?
I'm Roman plus a bunch of numbers.
I love that. I never told you that. I love that.
No.
Instead of having actually a bunch of numbers,
yeah,
just
all
type
spelled out.
Why do other people do that?
Because it's ridiculous.
It's way more unique.
I always tell people you just have to type in Roman PLUS and it'll come up. I'm number one. Facebook, Instagram, Gmail. And then we have our shows are on Eventbrite. If you look up stand-up comedy San Diego, our show is number one on Google.
I'm going to do Eventbrite.
So stoked about that. We do a show every Saturday at Cork and Brew here downtown, just outside in East Village.
In San Diego.
Yes, sir. In Park Boulevard and Market Street.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Alrighty, so what are your questions?
I wrote just a little bit down.
Is the answer to one of them seven?
Seven.
Oh, yeah, because that's an inside joke.
The lucky number.
Inside joke, there was with my family, my sister and my older sister and her kids, I just was living with them, helping raise the kids, and then in my head one day, I'm like, just was like, they would ask me a question, and I just thought, oh, it'd be fun to like ask, like, is the answer 7? And then I liked it so much, it became reoccurring.
So that's funny you say that, because that actually leads into my very first question.
Nice!
Which is, they let you be around children, Aaron?
Exactly. Well, before I decided or figured out that it was a comic, like, I could like read the room better and like act more normal. And also, okay, I feel like I can read the room, but I just sometimes get in my head that I can overcome it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Hopefully other comics and people can understand. You go into a room and it has, everybody's being really quiet or whatever, but you're like, oh, come on, it's a beautiful day, I'm so hyped. And you don't want to read the room. You want to change the energy.
Square peg, round hole approach.
You want to change the energy in the room. You want to bring life to it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's not that I can't read the room. It's that...
You already wrote the jokes.
I want it to change, and I have too much confidence that I can pull it off. Does that make sense?
Yeah, some people are masterful at it.
I think I'm getting better at it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you've got to compromise and just have to listen into it.
I feel like one thing that I've been like trying to work out more is just interacting with the crowd right off the bat. Sometimes like I get so excited about something that I want to do that it's like I'm not giving them the reverence or like making them feel important first before I start talking, you know. And sometimes those interactions that you have are the funniest thing you'll do on stage. So it's like I just have to do it no matter what.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
like the secret that I've noticed other people and myself do is like you gotta have the illusion that you're just coming up with these things. Oh, we're just having fun. I'm just a comedian that just comes up with stuff, and then you say something and I just riff off of that. I've seen comedians that do crowd work and quotes.
Sure.
They have just about every possibility mapped out. Oh, if they say they work in the military, I say this.
Yeah.
And then they even have ones where it's like, if they say something that I have no idea, then they'll say something like, oh, that's dumb. You know what I mean? Like, not really that.
Yeah.
You know? Or, oh, I got nothing. Not, I don't know.
Would you just get out of county?
Exactly. They have like fallback tropes.
What
are my passions?
Yeah. Video games? What are you playing right now? Do you play Cyberpunk?
Played a little bit of Cyberpunk and, you know, like rented it, and I am definitely going to get back to it because it just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, that's the last game I played.
Okay.
I played it like right before I got into stand-up. I don't really play that much video games right now. Used to love them, but great story. Yeah, I love video games, but they're such a time waster.
Right.
It's so hard to... And then, like, also feel like when you get sucked into, like, a good game, too, you just, like it kind of, like, sends you down the spiral of, like, antisocial behavior. You come out of the video game, and it's, like my girlfriend's coming over, and, like, I'm, like, I can't, like, talk as, like, quickly as I normally can. And I'm, like, I don't want to go out in public, and, like, I don't want to, like, write a new set, you know, like, just... It's an antisocial behavior that spurs on more and more antisocial behavior.
Because it's addictive.
Yeah.
It's like you're a stoner now. You just, wouldn't it be funner just to like stay home and smoke? Oh, wouldn't it be funner just to stay home and play video games?
Do you smoke weed?
No, not really. Just, I had to grow up with drug addict parents, so I just kind of tried it. I started to go down the path of being a stoner, and I was like, I don't really like this. I started noticed pretty quickly that I wasn't as sharp as I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And started to get lazy like them.
I hate weed because of that. I feel so slow.
So it's like, nah.
And you meet those people too. So, like, not everyone. Some people are very high-functioning stoners. But some people, man, they're just like, they smoke so much weed throughout the course of their life, they're never coming back.
Exactly.
So what are your vices?
My vices is wanting to do things but not putting any effort into them.
Okay.
Like, you know, like dating or something.
Okay. So like you're expecting
it's this, like, I guess like I don't really want it that bad, right? Because I'm not putting any money or energy into it.
Sure.
I'm just kind of wanting to
manifest it.
Manifest it. Well, I mean, the people that say, oh, it's just stop looking. It those people are just lucky or geniuses or something.
Yeah.
No. It's also, I guess I just don't settle. There's been times where I could see me going down the path of settling for somebody that's not right for me or pursuing, you know, and it's like, and there's other times where I'm overcoming that, but they're like, oh no, we're not good for you, you know, I'm not interested.
Yeah, but when you think about settling, don't you think, like, maybe sometimes it would just be better to die alone? Compared to the amount of work and effort that would go into every day living with this person, that's impossible.
Yeah, it's like, I'm 52 now, and it's like, I'm pretty much the happiest I've ever been.
Right.
So it's like, I get lonely. But if I could just figure out casual sex, the part... It's hard. I guess I have sex. I have to have sex with more attractive people because, for me, like, you know, the more I get to know the personality and I like it, the more attractive they are. And have to at least be cute
for sure. You know,
but a hot woman that if we didn't like have all this chemistry and just go and have a one night stand and like. Oh, let's take it slow or whatever, and then I start learning about them and like, oh yeah, you're hot, but your personality sucks.
Only thing going for you.
Then it's like,
I feel that.
And sometimes it's the personality is okay to be friends with, but you wouldn't want, you know, to be in a relationship because they, you know, you find out that they're a good person except when it comes to the people, how they treat the people.
Like,
or what they expect.
They're good.
They're expecting
you like
too
them
much.
For this one thing, but every other moment around them is exhausting. And I'm, like I said, I'm an introvert, so that's like most people I meet.
You gotta be able to sit. Or yeah, when someone's like, oh, it's so great talking to you, but do you realize that we never could just sit in silence?
Right?
You have to be able to find someone that knows how to read the room.
I actually had a conversation with this person that I went on a date with, and I think it's funny that you brought that up because it was literally like a week ago, and I was just like, they just kept talking and talking and talking, and then I was just like, oh, this is where I used to live, oh, this song is about this thing is about this, and I'm just like,
so you have to have a response to everything.
Like, did I ask you? Have you ever thought about just like looking out the window and just enjoying, like, you know, the breeze, sitting in silence? It's a nice way to tell somebody to shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like I feel like when they said introverts, extroverts, and then they came over the third one, where it's like both.
There's a third one.
Yeah. It's, I don't think that everything's a spectrum, so it's not that someone's an introvert, someone's an extrovert. Introverts
and sociopaths. You're pretending to be extroverted so that you can just slide right through.
No, the third one is the people that want to and can be really outgoing and social, but they also need time to recharge. And that's what I am. If there's only two, if there's just two things, you can always mix them together and have a third. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Right? But that leads to the next thing is a spectrum. There's not just introvert and both.
Oh, sure.
It's like a little bit, because I can't imagine someone that could always be outgoing.
Yeah.
Like, no, they have to go home and rest. It's not like they have to go home and sleep, but then as soon as they wake up, they're on the phone with somebody.
Sure.
Right? I mean, I'm sure that. It's social constructs too, right? You better not be calling me when you're on the toilet. That's just weird.
I only call my mom when I'm on the toilet. Sorry, Mom.
That is different. Do it. I'm sure it's fine.
That's when I have the most time. You know, beyond.
See, I can tell by that. It's all washed out.
Oh, shit.
Now lean forward.
Oh, God.
We probably should wrap it up too, because we're probably...
Wrap it up.
It's 9. That's almost 3:30.
I don't believe in raincoats, Aaron.
But we don't have to. What other questions you got?
That was really what I wanted to talk to you about, was the vices. And then, like, I was trying to think of things that, like, nobody's asked you yet, because you've been doing the podcast for a little while now.
Yeah, so it's like 30. This is number 33 recording.
Okay.
And they're I have to look at it. There's over 25 released, but more like 7 released right now.
Yeah. San Diego native?
Grew up in Santa Rosa, an hour north of San Francisco.
How long have you been here?
Since 18. So you haven't been listening to the podcast.
So I've missed these parts of the podcast.
This has come up before here.
I only watched the first one I watched was with Benny. That's when I started watching.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Local favorite.
I've seen
your little circle.
I've seen a few of them.
Great. Well, here's what my advice to everybody: just listen to the one episode a week, and then if you want to get caught up, occasionally listen to 2 episodes in a week. Right? Eventually, you'll catch up.
More unsolicited advice. I love this.
This is kind of an advice podcast. How to get into comedy. This is how to get into comedy, right? Because I got into comedy, one of the ways was listening to like a comedy podcast and go, wait a minute, that guy's story sounds really close to me.
Sure.
You know, and so it gets in your mind. And then it just happened to be like, and the whole concept of New Year's resolution. But then I had a New Year's resolution to do it. When a whole year didn't do it, the next year I'm like, well, that's not going to happen again, you know. And then really start trying it because things fall apart. And it's like, well, you haven't got anything else to do.
Sure.
So you might as well do comedy. You love it. It was great, even though you bombed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Puppets. You think that if I start doing puppets? Not all the time.
Never.
Never do puppets. Okay, let me just run it by you. This is the reason you put puppets. Ready?
Yes. Ready? Go for it. Send it.
Okay. There's times like you do a different voice, right? Or I do a different voice, and the voice doesn't match. You know what I mean? Like it would better coming from a puppet. Hmm. It separates it. Oh yeah, it's easier to tell that. He's doing a different character because now he has a different puppet on his hand.
Yeah. But I do think that, like, when you're bringing in props or puppets, sometimes even music, it can cheapen the art form.
What? Like, no, it's not cheapening.
The mastery of it is, like, it's
just... Yeah, definitely. It's because you're not getting better. You're trying to...
And your voice, like, there's nothing else. The audience, like, that's it. And you start bringing in all this other stuff, it's just like, I don't know. I don't, like, none of the greats needed anything like that, you know? Like...
No, there's greats that did do that.
Do you think, like, I don't know, like, Jeff Dunham's going to be, like, on the Mount Rushmore of greatest comedians of all time?
Doesn't matter. Do you think I'm surprised trying to be number one of all time? Is that what you think?
No, I'm trying to, like... I'm trying to... Like, see,
well, I mean, not everything.
Like, what inspired
for you?
What, and like, I'm sure there's someone that can do it, right? You know, but like, there's so many times when it goes sideways. Even like what I was saying, like with music, like you can cheapen the comedy.
Okay, but you understand that part of comedy is entertainment, right?
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't say that, oh, this guy is doing a one-man play of Romeo and Juliet, and he's playing all the characters, but he's saying all the characters in his own voice, and he doesn't have a costume. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense?
But, like, someone like Robin Williams could do it without the puppets. You know what I mean?
Sure. No,
and he probably has done Romeo and Juliet and done all of the voices.
Right, but does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
That's why you do a different voice. That's why you would, you know, like, so a puppet is that it's wearing a different costume.
Yeah.
It looks different.
Sure.
Because even the voice is only one part of it, right?
Sure.
So I had 2 puppets. Now I'm in 2 places at the same time.
Yeah. The only thing you can do is try it.
Wow, look at that. I kind of have his permission. Not that I need it.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's your show. It's your stage time.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody can tell you.
I was just saying, it's my show.
No,
it's a podcast.
It's your show. It's your stage time. Like, when you're on stage, like, yeah. Like anyone stop you from doing what you're going to try?
Oh, no. I wouldn't. You told me absolutely not. Don't ever do it.
I'm never going to.
I just mean that I wouldn't still try it eventually.
Yeah. But that's what's fun about it too. It's like, especially when people give you unsolicited advice.
Yeah, I think that's why.
You know, I'm gonna go my own way, regardless what you think.
Yeah, I do. Oh, this person came in, like, I'm 4 years in. They're brand new, or now they're 6 months in, and they're getting booked. And it's like, well, but they're not on the same path. They're not on the same journey.
Yeah. You know,
maybe I start, or the comedy, your worst brand grows into a multimedia thing, and they're just, even if they have a Netflix special, so good, do they have it? I'm not trying to brag or think that I can actually do it, but what if Comedy Worst is a good podcast that people listen to?
Sure.
They go to the Comedy Worst shows, they buy the merch, you know what I mean? Like other people, they have, oh yeah, you're on Netflix, but someone else is doing your merch.
Yeah.
Someone else is doing podcasts or taking a cut. It's like all these things. You already have to pay people, and you can't do it all yourself. Right?
Sure.
There's already compromises. And
yeah, and also, like, I think in general, like, it's just a bad policy to, like, gripe about other people's successes in general. Because
I'm not trying to gripe.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying, like, just, like, in general, like, don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday. Look at how far you're coming. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, it's, dude, we're all on the journey. Like, you know, like, who cares where we end up? This is a great time.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like what slowed me down is going, okay, I'm going to try to do the things that I said. How did you get near mediocre rise, or slow ramp up, and then choo?
Right.
And they're like telling me the things they did. It's like, oh yeah, that's the same things I've heard other people say that I should do.
Yeah.
And it's like, I could go down that path, and I just or not able to pull it off or whatever.
Yeah.
So
that's something like I try to remember too. It's like, dude, I'm not actually trying to be famous. I don't think that I'm gonna have a Netflix special or anything like that. If it happens for me, I'd be excited. But you know what I love doing? I love getting on stage and making people laugh, you know?
As,
you know, I love, like hearing someone's like, man, I was having a tough week, and then I saw there was a comedy show and like came to your show, and like, this was freaking amazing. Like, I'm gonna tell all my friends about it. We're coming back next week, you know what I mean? That feeling, you know, like that you like, you get to share your story, and like sometimes it is the worst parts of your story, and you can find a way to like make someone laugh at those moments of your life.
Yeah, you take the tragedy and make it into comedy.
And then like they might do that too, you know, like in their own way. Like they're gonna find a way to laugh through their, you know, hardship or whatever they're going through.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good medicine.
Nice. So now that you're Comedy or Worse podcast is having guests on, like Roman, and then it becomes a show. So everybody in the audience, be sure to buy your tickets for Comedy or Worse at Mic Drop. It's not in the podcast. It's just going to, the concept is, it says, oh, Rudy Ortega, and this is what episode he was on, you know, and then introduce him to the stage. And then once again, oh, you know, that's Rudy. If you like what you heard, you want to know more about him, so follow him on social media, and you can listen to his episode of Comedy or Worse.
Nice.
That's the concept.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's up there on the Mic Drop. You gotta just, people might have to buy tickets, because if it sells no tickets, then it might not run.
Sure.
Or it could sell out, either one.
What date is it?
Sunday, June 16th at 6:30 p.m. is the start time.
Okay.
It's $20 plus service fees. I have no control over that.
Sure. Yeah, I'll tell everybody I know. I'll be there.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
And if we get to you again, then maybe you can be on the next show. Or maybe if enough people drop out, it said they were going to do. Since now you're on the podcast,
then
it fits with the theme.
All right. The thing is always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
No, you can have a second theme, though.
All right. Well, I look forward to that. Sounds like a great show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hopefully they enjoyed it.
Yes, she can stop it both at the same time.
All right.
Bye, everybody. We're going to stop the videos at the same time.
Three.